Welcome to Truths for Life with Pastor Teacher Chris Hall. On our program today, we talked with Reverend Jeremy Morton, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia. Thank you for being with us today on Truths for Life with Pastor Teacher Chris Hall. And I am Chris Hall, and it's good to have with us today on our program, Brother Jeremy Morton, who is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia. And Brother Jeremy joins us today, and we're just going to talk a little bit about what's happening in church and church life, what's happening in our society and culture, and just deliver a word of encouragement to everyone who joins us today. Brother Jeremy, it's good to have you with us today. You and I are good friends from way back yonder.
That's right.
And it's a pleasure to have you on our podcast today. First Baptist Church Woodstock, one of those what I call anchor churches in the state of Georgia, Georgia Baptist Mission Board and Southern Baptist Convention. So tell me how things are going at First Baptist Woodstock. I know you've got a lot of things happening, and it's a pretty good-sized congregation. So how are things these days at First Baptist Woodstock?
Well, Chris, thanks for this opportunity to see you again through technology and to talk with you today. And it's a joy to be on this video and on this podcast. I'll tell you this, by the grace of God, with all things being what they are, First Baptist Woodstock is doing wonderful. And we shouldn't be surprised. Jesus promised 2,000 years ago that he would build his church and protect his church. We do what we do, but the truth is it's all in God's hands. But it's a tribute to the health of this congregation long before I came on the scene. My predecessor, Pastor Johnny Hunt, is not just a dear personal friend, but he's my ministry hero. He's my role model in the ministry. And we call him Pastor Emeritus, which means that he doesn't have active responsibility, but we acknowledge his legacy here. So the story of Woodstock is people who haven't gotten over what Jesus has done for them. And they're sharing it in Woodstock, and they're sharing it around the world. Chris, this morning I got an email from 13 of our church members that are serving right now in Central Asia in a Muslim community that, for all practical purposes, is very close to the gospel personally and politically. It's the first overseas mission trip we've done in a year since the pandemic hit. And I'm just so filled with gratitude. Listen to this now. In Central Asia, in a Muslim city where it's not known what the true intent of what this team from First Baptist Woodstock is over there doing. Seven people yesterday prayed to receive Christ.
Amen.
And so that ministry is eternal. Yes, it's something that started in Woodstock, but in Central Asia, while we were asleep yesterday, on the other side of the world, God was making himself known to people that have never named Christ. So that's just one story of the goodness of God. And I know many churches have great stories like that to tell, but this is the first one since the pandemic hit that we're able to actually have boots on the ground in the hard places again, doing what we do as the Lord's church, which is telling people about Jesus. So my heart is, there's many things in the world to be concerned about. And there are so many crisis situations, and there's heartache, and there's pain in people and nationally and politically. But boy, thank God that yesterday a handful of people gave their life to Jesus.
You know, absolutely unbelievable. And I know that everyone who joins us will certainly be praying for those who are on the ground there from First Baptist Church Woodstock. Now, how long have you? I know you came in to Woodstock after Dr. Johnny Hunt supposedly retired. Here's what I found out for preachers. You never retire. You just kind of retool and do something different. So how long have you been at First Baptist Woodstock?
Well, I came here in October of 2018, and for about a year, Pastor Johnny and I served as co-pastors, which was part of our transition plan all along. I can't imagine stepping into a church like this without having at least a year to serve with your predecessor. There's just such a learning curve, and I'm still not there. I need the Holy Spirit every day, but Pastor Johnny was so gracious to stay with me for a year, and of course, the church has loved that. And then he stepped away in the fall of 2019 from his active responsibility. And then, wow, it's been the joy of my life, even though it's been the work of my life, because from the fall of 2019 to the spring of 2020, we had a season of normalcy. And then obviously COVID-19 hit, which has just changed so much of what we would previously have referred to as normalcy. Chris, you know all about that. And so does every single person in the world. But all things being what they are, our church has responded well. We've done everything we can to give people two great options, which is worshiping in person on our campus but also trying to make sure the infrastructure is in place to create online web connections with people who, for whatever reason, need to remain quarantined. And there are many legitimate reasons why not everyone is able to return to in-person worship. So trying to take what we do and also put it online every single week in a first-class way. There's work in that, as you well know.
Right.
But the people have been so gracious. The prayers of the people are being answered. And I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. I say this as a testimony to God's grace and the wonderful people that pray for me. I love it here, even though it's tremendous work. And I think every pastor would say that about tremendous work. I don't want to take up too much time here. I don't know what all you want to talk about. But a year ago, and it's crazy, we're in March 2021. So it was really a year we've been at this, Chris. You know, early on, I thought, what am I going to do? We're all quarantined at home.
Right.
Is this going to be like a vacation? Oh, it has not been a vacation at all. I've worked harder in the last year in terms of labor and just the grind of daily responsibility and the daily burden of trying to address issues, even though it's not in a normal way of being. And, you know, you and I, we're talking today on this call. Yeah. Thank God for the technology, but it's not the same as being in the same room. So, right. So it's just been work. It's been work, but God's been good.
Amen. You know, and I watch you, you know, I visit with you every week at First Baptist Church Woodstock. And I do so, of course, through your website and through, the Facebook pages that you guys have. And like you say, when all of this pandemic thing hit, all of a sudden, all of us preachers became televangelists. You know, we never thought in the world we would ever be televangelists.
No.
I was going to ask you, now that we're into this and we're, you know, technology has come forward like it has, for churches that never dreamed they would be in the Facebook Live kind of business kind of thing.
Right.
How do you think, just from your perspective, how is that going to change church? Is it going to be detrimental? Is it going to be helpful in the future? Does it depend on how a church handles that situation? What do you think about that? It's kind of an interesting concept to think about. Now, I know the pandemic is going to change everything in so many ways, including church life. But what about churches and technology and people accessing churches and coming to churches? What do you think about that, good and bad? What do you think about how that will change?
Great question. I'm answering this on the fly with my life because I don't think any of us can fully answer what will it be over the next decade or so. I think there is, as you said, good news and bad news. Let me say this. I think the bad news is that nothing can replace, Chris, live,
right,
in person, personally, physically experiencing the joy of corporate worship, in-person fellowship. We as the people of God, it is integral to who we are that we gather, that we assemble, right? The Bible uses these words are the New Testament. We are the ecclesia. We are the koinonia. We are the people who gather together in the name of Christ. And that's ideal. But if we say that's the only way then we can meet, well, not just technology, but sometimes in the New Testament, we see evidence that the church was forced to scatter because of persecution.
Right.
And there were underground house church movements taking place even in the first century. So ideal is freely expressing yourself publicly in a live worship moment. But the church has had obstacles for 2,000 years at doing this. This is just the obstacle that defines our generation, and it happens to be not direct persecution like many have gone through, but a pandemic. Now, the good news, I think, is that perhaps the gospel is being accelerated in ways it couldn't have happened without this pandemic. Churches were very much inside the box, or shall I say inside the walls a year ago, but now through Facebook, your church doesn't have to have a first-class website and a marketing team and high-def cameras. I have had pastor friends from all around rural parts of North America say to me, I'm literally doing devotions from my iPhone or from my iPad, and I'm right. Setting them up on a personal Facebook page, and I have people tuning in that I didn't even know existed a year ago. Or they see replays of it. They may not be participating live, but they'll see the replay of it streamed during the week or 2 weeks later. Church has almost become, if I could say this and it not be sacrilegious, Chris, like Netflix.
Yeah.
People are viewing at random times, which anytime the name of God is praised outside of the Sunday morning moment, we say, praise the Lord. So Amen. Good news, bad news. I hate that we're not gathering together with the numbers in person that we were a year ago, and that's true for virtually everyone. Right. But technology is perhaps accelerating the gospel in ways that we couldn't have done it a year ago, and I rejoice at that.
I praise the Lord for that. Just turning the page a little bit, I'm kind of an old school Southern Baptist guy. I was there back when Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley and all of that, when we were kind of, I guess you could, I hate to put it in warlike terms, but fighting for the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention back in the day, many, many years ago, mm-hmm. When there seemed to be a battle between more, I guess, conservative elements against the more liberal elements theologically. And, I was there. I was there when we had 40 something thousand messengers in some of those convention meetings.
Amazing.
And the SBC now has advanced. And I love, of course, I'm a Christian first and part of the kingdom of God first. But I do love the Southern Baptist Convention. I've been a part of it for, all of my Christian life and have had many advantages going to a Southern Baptist college and seminary. But I'm a little concerned about how, and I'm not asking you to get into the deep things here, but I'm a little concerned about our Southern Baptist Convention and where we stand now, and maybe some of the divisions that are beginning to develop. And division just can't be good. It a house divided cannot stand. I'm really concerned about the SBC. Maybe sometimes division has to come so you can, I guess, purify things. I don't know. But give me your perspective on the Southern Baptist Convention. Here's the thing I've tried to communicate to some people is there seems to be a growing disconnect, between, the people in Southern Baptist churches, in your everyday kind of churches, and what's happening with the Southern Baptist Convention. The further away you get from the local church, it seems to be a greater disconnect between what's happening in the local church and what they know is happening on a denominational level. Give me your perspective on the SBC and just what can we do to pray for our convention, to try to help our convention to grow and to be what God would have us to be together to preach the good news of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Chris, I hear the concern in your voice and I share it. And I would say this from the heart. I know this is true in my own life. It's true in my family. It's been true in my church. And if it's true on those levels, certainly is true in our denomination, the beloved SBC. The further I or we get away from the main thing being the main thing, the more dangerous our lives become. Right. It's a slippery slope that I don't think we intended to happen. But when we are not making what made us great, which is taking the gospel to all people and educating young men and women to be missionaries and Christian leaders in every generation, the things that have defined who Southern Baptists are. And we are not perfect. Obviously, we have a very bloody history. We have a racially charged history. We are not a perfect denomination, but we are a denomination that has raised literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to send missionaries and to plant churches and to build colleges and seminaries for the educational purpose of this glorious end of taking the gospel to the nations. The further we get away from those things, which is making the main thing, taking Jesus to every man, boy, girl, woman, from our own cities to the nations, the further we get away from that, then the more those secondary issues will begin to define us. We'll be charged about things that have not been at the heart of what we were even concerned about in previous generations. I'm not saying that biblical fidelity and the fight for biblical integrity isn't always going to be at the forefront. Sure. But Chris, I'll say this, and I don't want to ramble, but I think when we look back, and I don't even know if I'll be alive to be a part of this understanding, but if the Lord tarries his coming and 50 to 100 years from now, historians are studying this moment in human civilization, I think one of the worst things or perhaps detrimental things will be 24-hour news. Though internet is remarkable, it is now taking away our attention span. It's a major distraction. So the internet is good in that it helps us go further faster, but it's bad when we're more driven by news media and politics than we are the gospel and loving our neighbor in a real tangible way. And so Southern Baptist, just like perhaps the whole world, we have allowed busyness and distraction to cause us to take our eye off the ball. And as a result, when the target's taken away, people will madness and chaos becomes the new norm. And I think that's probably a way to say it's true in America right now. It's true in our denomination right now, Chris. And I'm probably doing a poor job of trying to explain what I feel.
You're getting it, brother. I'm right there with you. Yeah, I'm in there with you.
We weren't made to know what everybody's doing all the time, all over the place. Yeah. And I can Google it and know in 2 seconds what took our granddaddies weeks to figure out.
Absolutely.
And so we have more information than we've ever had, but we're less impactful than we've ever been.
Right.
And the main thing's not the main thing, which is the gospel and Christ and making him known.
Right.
And so therefore we're fighting about things that, I don't know, Chris, I share your concern, and I wish I could say this is the easy answer, but I don't know what it is, but I'm with you. We need to pray and get on our knees daily and ask God to make the main thing the main thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many denominations, I think, follow the lead of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes.
And so we need to get our act together, you know, and like you say, make the main thing the main thing. And speaking of the main thing, as we come to the end of our program, Easter is coming up. And
yes.
What a glorious thing to remember the joy of Easter, the truth of Easter, mm-hmm. the difference that Easter makes. Tell me about what you guys will be doing at First Baptist Woodstock for Resurrection Day. And also maybe give us just a word of encouragement about Easter and the meaning of the resurrection of our Lord and how it makes our salvation possible and the hope of the world possible. Share that with us, brother.
Amen. Well, I'm actually preaching through Colossians right now. I'm going to take a one Sunday break for Easter Sunday, the first Sunday of April. But this past week, it was that famous passage, Colossians 1, 15 through 20, that talks about the centrality of Christ and the beauty of Christ, the image of God, the firstborn of all creation, the one who is over all things. And Paul tells us in Colossians 1 that Jesus is God. He is Lord over creation. He is Lord over the church. He is the Lord over you and me. He is the Lord over everything. And that is the heart. That we are the Jesus people. We are in this movement that was paid for us by the blood of Christ and bought for us by the blood of Christ and victoriously secured for us through the resurrection, which is the story of the gospel on the third day, Jesus lives again. So we'll do this, Chris, and I'm thrilled, and I get a little emotional when I think about it. We didn't get to do this in person last year because of the pandemic. So this is the first time I'll have seen people on Easter Sunday or Easter weekend in 2 years. And that's sweet. It's the first time in my life that I've gone a whole year without an Easter celebration in a real way. You too, I'm sure. You too.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll have Good Friday services, which will be appropriately somber. By design, we'll focus on, I'm preaching, God willing, a message that night on the power of Jesus' blood. We'll take the Lord's Supper together. We will sing about the blood. We will talk about the meaning of the blood of Jesus, and we'll see through the elements of bread and drink that Christ is our atoning sacrifice. And then from a very somber, sober mood on Friday night, from our Good Friday services, obviously the hushed stillness of Saturday into Sunday morning, which will be, oh man.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And boy, you know, we need it, man. We need the good.
Yes, we do.
I'll tell you this, in our community right now, we're reeling. There was the shooting that happened from Woodstock into Atlanta, Midtown last week, where 8 people tragically were killed. Yeah. And there is a story happening now locally that is, again, not even known by all in our community, but our church is very close to it because of a sponsorship we have at a boys' home. But a 19-year-old young man this week committed suicide at a foster home where it just man, the pain people are going through, Chris.
Yeah.
We don't even know what our neighbor is going through. And whether it be cancer, whether it be bankruptcy or divorce or pandemic or domestic abuse, I mean, it's unending, right? So many things. Easter is able to address every single one of those, because Jesus is, if he can rise from the grave, Chris, and he did, then nothing is impossible in our lives by the power of God. So that's our message on Easter Sunday. And we need to remember it, not just every year, but every day. And I look forward to sharing that gospel message of Christ.
Well, I'll be tuning in with you, brother.
Amen. Amen.
You may not be live at the moment, but I'll tune in at a later time and certainly enjoy that.
I love it.
Jeremy Morton, First Baptist Church Woodstock, has been our guest today. Jeremy, it's so good to see you, my man. And Thank you. I get up that way from below the net line, you know, I'm below the net line. And
I only lived there the first 33 years of my life, so I totally understand.
So we know how to blow them away, right? So if I ever get up that way from the net line, I certainly will look you up and look forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be praying for you and the good folks at First Baptist Church Woodstock, and we pray that God will continue to bless you in a great way and give us guidance and wisdom in these days to come that we can see great things done for our Lord. Amen. So thank you, Jeremy, for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
You too.
Thank you for joining us today on Truths for Life with Pastor Teacher Chris Hall. Our website is truthsforlifewithchrishall.com, and we're on Facebook at Chris Hall Sermons and Studies. You can email us at chrishall71@hotmail.com. Join us again for our next program on Truths for Life with Pastor Teacher Chris Hall.